Sauce Trunk, a weekly trunkload of open source.
Hi, and welcome to Sauce Trunk episode 6, recorded on Monday, 30 October 2006. This podcast will try to demystify the beautiful beast that is open source and show the listeners the more practical examples of open source and free software. I will grab a random open source application, be it server software, office software, multimedia, or something else. With this podcast, I will be drinking a St. Bernardus, a Prior 8. It's a pretty noble and delicious beer. It has high fermentation. The color is ruby purple. And let's see if that's correct. Yeah, it's pretty reddish. And it has a very malty and fruity taste. This one is 8% alcohol as well. I've got to change a bit in the alcohol percentage. It's always 8%. And this one has to ripe in the bottle as well after it has been bottled. This beer is apparently made from the water that has been pumped up from a depth of 150 meters. And it appears scientifically proven that the water that has been pumped up is originating from rainfall from the time of Joan of Arc, which we all know is around 1400. Thank you, Wikipedia. Okay, let's have a sip. And it tastes just like the stew my mother-in-law makes. That's because she uses this beer a lot in her stew, and well, it's a very nice beer. Try it out. Let's go. Personal note to myself, make jingle for graphical tools. Dia. What it is? Dia is a GTK Plus based diagram creation program, and it's a bit inspired by the commercial Windows Visio program. It can make flowcharts, network diagrams, UML diagrams. UML stands for Unified Modeling Language, and that is a non-proprietary specification language for object modeling. You can make entity relationship diagrams with it, and much, much more diagrams. To keep it simple, just imagine a big white canvas, and there you can put on servers and processes all in a graphical way, and you can just connect them. For example, if you are a sysadmin and you have to explain a complete server workflow to your colleagues or to clients, then the best you can do is just make a diagram. Everybody can follow a nice diagram. And it can even be handy for you. You can put little details by the servers you're putting on there. You can put server processes in between the servers. You can put the name of the protocols you use in between those servers. You can make arrows to point in which direction flows are going. When something changes in the flow, you can adapt very easily just by grabbing a server, giving it another name, putting another server next to it, put another line, and so on and so on. For example, you have to make a software flow chart before you are creating the software. That can be very handy just to have the complete layout in front of you before you start cranking the code. I really think I don't have to explain the benefits of having a very nice flow chart for program development. This is really a must. So, and Dia is the software you can use to do so. I'm going to take it in front of me, just to explain it a bit. And the first thing you see with Dia is just a window where you have your canvas and a nice grid. And then on the left side, you have all your different buttons from which you can pick objects. Like, for example, if you take the chemistry object, then you have all the things you need in a chemistry laboratory, the water cooler, you have a floating head, you have exchangers, heating, cooling coil, all those little objects you can just drag and drop, put it on the canvas, and then you can draw lines in between them. I think that is just the basic. For example, you could take the Cisco computer pane And then you have all the different objects Cisco uses to make diagrams. For example, I have here a communication server, an IBM tower, a voice comm server, and there as well you can make connections in between them. You can make straight arrows, you can change the points of the arrow, you can make bending arrows to make a complete diagram. Now, what is so nice about this software is that everything is vectorized. For example, if you take an object, for example, a SQL server process, then you see little green dots which you can grab, and then you can expand the object to your liking. So you can really draw a diagram with a lot of options. When you right click on an object, then you can do a lot of stuff. Then you can just put that object to the back or bring it to the front. You can put text over it. You can replace it by another object. You can put text in it to make things more clearly to the people who are reading your diagram. You can make groups of objects. And you can even import your own custom images if you would like to, because sometimes you want really to see which service you have. You have, for example, PowerEdge, Dell service, and you want to grab an image of images.google and of a PowerEdge and just put them in your own diagram, or Xserves or Apple workstations, whatever. You can just import them into this diagram. Now, when you're done, you can save it in a nice XML format, and you can even export it to a lot of different formats. For example, EPS is supported. Then you could just open it in Inkscape or Illustrator or whatever and completely change it to your liking. You could, I think SVG is also supported. There's a lot of different formats you can export it to, and you can print it out naturally to whichever format you want, a letter format, A3, A4, A1, A0, and just hang it on your wall and have your complete wall covered by nice diagrams. Now, the funny thing is, most of the diagrams I receive from colleagues are made in Visio for the Windows people, or they are made in OmniGraffle. OmniGraffle is a Macintosh software for making diagrams, and I must say I've been using OmniGraffle now for more than 4 years, and I really love OmniGraffle. It's fast, it really does what it has to do, make a diagram very easy to change, and so on and so on. And I've put it upon myself to use Daya for at least 2 weeks to see if I could replace my OmniGraffle software with Daya. And I must say, without a doubt, I can just put my OmniGraffle away, because Daya is going to be the software I'm going to use from now on. I had one day or so that I really had to look how things worked and how I could benefit the most from the software. And after a day, I was completely smitten. I was completely in love with the program. It's very simple, it is very good, it is very fast, it's very stable. So what more do you need? Really, try it out. Now, it also has a very nice documentation, a very good tutorial. I recommend people, if they are going to use this software, just do the tutorial. It's very small, and it's really points you to the right things to do with the software. Any negative aspects or a wish list? Ah, man, this is great software. Nothing negative about it. A little thing on the wish list, and that is shadows. It's a stupid thing, but when you place objects on a canvas and it has a nice little drop shadow behind it, people just love that. They don't see the complete diagram, but they see a server with a drop shadow, and they see a very professional diagram if it just has drop shadows. If they could make drop shadows in it, it would be more than excellent. The author of the program is, it was originally programmed by Alexander Larsen, And the current maintainers are Cyril Sepelov and Lars Clausen. Hans Breuer and Stefan Macke maintain the Windows port for this program. Now, some tips. Don't be misled by the graphics you see on your screen, because they can be very jagged. The first time you see it, I did as well, I was not impressed with the graphics. But once you export them or print them, remember, it's vectorial, they are smooth, they are really smooth. This program is available on all Unix-based operating systems, Linux, FreeBSD, and also there is a very good Microsoft Windows port. So throw away your Visio and start cranking away with Dia, really. Try it out. Latest release is version 0.95.1. It's still actively maintained. Last release was of May the 25th of this year. And you can get it at gnome.org/projects/dia. The license is GNU General Public License. Now, how can you support this? I didn't find anything about supporting the authors with donations or anything. So that's really a shame. But they ask you if you would like to contribute to the code, that you would be really, they would be glad to have your help. There is a long list of active developers on this software. So if you don't know how to code, then and if you want to contribute to this software, then just spread the word about it to colleagues or friends and let them use it. I even did a little test. I made one diagram in OmniGraffle and I did one in Dia. And I presented it to a friend of mine who is a graphical designer, and I asked him which of the two he preferred. And he preferred immediately the Dia version, because that one was easy to follow. Okay, it didn't have all the fancy artwork that OmniGraffle has, but he really liked the Dia one better, so that says a lot.
A little extra.
Warmux. This one is a 2D game. I wanted to talk about this game because if you know the game Worms, then you know what I'm talking about. This is really nice, nice software. I'll explain it. This game you really have to play with other players. You don't have any artificial intelligence, so you really need some human interaction. Each player controls a team of a certain number of little creatures. Now, those little creatures can be sheep, they can be thunderbirds, they can be little tuxes, they can be gimp mascots, they can be little firefoxes, gnus, snort pigs. You have the idea, you have the general pictures. It's really a game designed by nerds, as it were. Each player gets, turn by turn, some time to control a little character. So, for example, you can let the character get closer to the other player character and inflict a maximum amount of damage. For example, it hops over to a little pig and then it takes out a bazooka and shoots twice to the pig and tries to inflict as much as damage possible. Now, the next turn, it's time for the pig to react. So, if that first character didn't move and get out of the way very fast, then it just has to pick up its baseball bat and just give the first character a real whooping. Now, this seems very simplistic and not a game you want to spend a lot of time with. I have to agree on the simplistic part, but it's really fun to play. It's really simple in its design and it is so, so funny if you're playing it with 2, 3, 4, 5 people. We used to play, for example, Worms 3D. It was proprietary software and we played it on a PlayStation. What we did was we put on a big screen and had an overhead projector. And then we would just play for hours in a row and laugh our heads off with the silly things you could do with the characters. For example, I'll just give a list of the weapons you can use, and then you'll get an idea of the fun you can have with smashing each other heads in, of blowing your other characters to pieces. For example, there's the automatic bazooka, the bazooka, the riot bomb, the grenade, the cluster bomb, the holy grenade. You have the gun, an Uzi, a stripper, a baseball bat. You have dynamite, you have mines. You even can summon air attack. You have super chucks. You have a GNU launcher that is just a little GNU that you throw to the other character and it will jump. And then you will see a little countdown, and when it reaches zero, it will explode. Stuff like that. You can use parachutes, jetpacks. It really, really is worthwhile checking out. Now, I've downloaded this game, and I must say, I was really skeptical, because I've played the proprietary versions, which are very graphical, very fun to play. And this one, being open source and being on a very tight and low budget, really had to prove itself. And I was really impressed with the artwork they did and with the ease of gameplay they put in this game. Like I said, it is not artificial intelligence built in, so you really have to play with other characters. And this one, this version didn't have network game support, so you really had to go to a friend and play it there and take over the computer one by one. Or you could, if you're really completely nutty about it, use Tide VNC to take over one's computer over the internet and then make your next move. Now, I recently discovered that there is a new alpha version where they have network game support built in. So now you can just play it over the internet and smash each other's heads in from over a long distance. Let me give you some more features from the alpha version. For example, you have new weapons. You have a sniper rifle, you have shotgun, riot bomb, syringe, polycat launchers, an anvil, air hammer, construct. I don't know what it is. You even have a blowtorch. Your characters can do double backflips, and so on, and so on, and so on. So, check it out. Now, the wishlists, or the negative stuff. Nothing negative about it. It's really nice software, but a little artificial intelligence would be nice. It's really nice of the developers that they try to get the players to keep in touch with other humans, but when you don't really have the time to do so, it would be nice to play this game against the computer. I'm going to sum up the offers of this nice software. That is Yannick Perret. Then you have Lawrence Azouch. Then you have Laurent Defer Simono, Mafio Fertre, and I hope you all will keep in mind that I really have a tough time pronouncing your names. You have Victor Stinner as well. You have Anthony Carré and Olivier Boyer. Those are the people responsible for this silly game. And there are a whole lot of contributors. You have translators, you have package maintainers, you have code patchers, people who are responsible for the sound, people who are responsible for the graphic development and the website as well. Some tips: don't play this game by yourself and judge the game based on solo gameplay. You really have to play it with friends. The availability: it's available on Linux, FreeBSD, Windows as well, macOS X as well, and it's even available for the iMode. You know, the iMode cellular phones, a stripped-down version works on those phones. The stable release is 0.7.4, and as I said, the development release, the alpha release, is at 0.8.1. And again, this one, the development release, is worth checking out because that one has the network support. You can get it at wormux.org. The license is GNU General Public License. How can you support it? Also, here there is no donation link whatsoever, but they ask you to contribute to the code. So if you are a developer, you can sign in for language translations or skin creation, or you can create your own maps, create missing sounds, you can give feedback, bug reports if you want to. You can code missing features, stuff you really would like in the game, just code it in. You can create new weapons, which is not too difficult, it seems. And you can create team's sound profile in French if you want to. And of course, if you are a package maintainer, you can make distribution packages for your distribution. Now, I shouldn't have taken Wormux as a little extra, as the little last software program I review in a podcast, because it deserves more than this. Maybe when it grows a bit more and has artificial intelligence support, I will take it again for a review, and I will even put in some sound bits of friends of mine and me playing the damn thing, because it's so, so utterly, utterly stupid and funny. Okay, that's it for Wormux. Some listener feedback. It appears that I'm blowing up some AUG players with my AUG formats. I had at least two people who wrote me that they had a problem playing my AUG formats. They didn't blow up, but they just stalled when they met my AUG format. I just make the AUG with sound converter, so that's not much I can do wrong here. But still, I'm trying to figure out what is going wrong. If you also have a problem with the AUG formats in your AUG player, please let me know about it. I really want to have the AUG formats out and playable. Okay, let's wrap it up. Leave your comments on sourcetrunk.com or mail me directly via sourcetrunk@gmail.com. The theme song of this podcast is by Brand New Sin, and it's called Freight Train. You can find them on music.podshow.com. I'm leaving you with Miracle by Victor DiMarco. Thanks for your time and good hunting.
Does what you can in this world. She's got a 3-year-old girl who needs just more than a mom at home. Sits up and out all alone. She hears her mom on the phone, all the tears saying not again. God give me strength to hold on to it one more day, 'cause I can't breathe. She needs nothing less than a miracle to guide her through this life. Can't breathe. She needs nothing less than a miracle.